Hi, everybody. Welcome to All Things Aviation and Aerospace. I'm Vince Mickens with the Private Air Media Group. If you notice, my background is kind of interesting today. It's because I am at Stewart International Airport up in New Windsor, New York. The reason for that is I had a business trip and had to do this show kind of on the go. So here I am. But it's really great to do this show because I think it's going to be another special show that again, tells them some stories about a couple of young people and their path to where they are now, but at the same time, give you insight on another option for pursuing a career in aviation or careers in aviation, because we're going to deal with both flight training and aviation maintenance. And the emphasis is on both, but you know, we're going to emphasize aviation maintenance even more because that's something that's a real push that Vincennes University and Purdue Polytechnic are working on. So without further ado, as they like to say, let me go ahead and introduce our guests. First of all, I'd like to introduce Mike Garrick. Michael Garrick is the Director of Aviation at Vincennes University. And Mike, it's great to have you on the show today and looking forward to the conversation about what you guys do and hearing about your background as well.
Sure. Thanks, Vince. Happy to be part of it and really appreciate the fact that you're taking the time to showcase the unique program that we have here at the Aviation Technology Center with Vincennes University and Purdue University.
Absolutely. And I think it's a great partnership you guys have. And speaking of that partnership, we also have Corey Sharp. He is the director of the Indiana Statewide Partnerships with Purdue Polytechnic and Vincennes University. And Purdue Polytechnic is a part of Purdue University. Corey, welcome to the show. And thanks. Also, Taiwan Lockhart. So Taiwan is one of the students who recently graduated from Vincennes with a certification in aviation as an aviation maintenance technician. And now he is actually, upon graduation, started working for GE Aviation. And he's turning wrenches and working on engines and all kinds of stuff there, and also has a very interesting, heartwarming, and a great story to tell. Taiwan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. It's great to have you. We will also have joining us, and it looks like she just came on. There she is, Sabrina Dupree. Did I say that right?
Yes. Hi. Sorry, I was having some technical issues.
Oh no, that's fine. So glad you could join us too. So, and Sabrina is also a graduate of Vincennes University in the flight training side of things. And she's currently working at Vincennes as a certified flight instructor, teaching others how to fly, and working on her bachelor's degree with Purdue Polytechnic. So it's great to have all of you guys on, and it's going to be really good to talk about what you offer. And let's kind of start out with that. So Mike, I'll go to you first. Tell us a little bit about Vincennes there in Indiana that a lot of people probably aren't even aware of.
Sure. So we like to say there's a lot of firsts with Vincennes University and in Indiana. And so we were founded in 1801, the oldest two-year university in this part of the country. We've been doing aviation training since the mid-1960s down on our main campus. Vincennes is located in southwestern Indiana. Our location where I'm coming from today is in Indianapolis, actually at the Indianapolis International Airport. And so several years ago, United Airlines was going to move to Indianapolis and they requested a training site be located here at the airport. And so VU, in cooperation with Purdue University and the state, opened the facility that we're in today. And primarily to train aviation maintenance technicians for that facility. And although United's not here locally anymore, we do have AAR Corporation and many other aviation employers here. And so our mission really hasn't changed. We're still providing that training service for young people like Taiwan and Sabrina and to provide the pipeline for the employers here in the local area.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about the program and how those who are interested, for example, with the aviation maintenance technician, how do you go about applying for that? What does it consist of?
Sure. So some really good opportunities and some unique features at this location. So probably the first is, and Taiwan took part in this, we have a high school dual credit program. So students can actually start either in aviation maintenance or flight as early as their junior year in high school and be earning FAA training as well as college credits. And of course, the local high schools and career centers pay for that training. So it's free to the student. And it really gives them a jump start on their education. So, you know, they can start as early as the junior year, then they can do 2 years with us as college students. And then when they're finished, they can literally walk down the hall and finish a bachelor's degree with Purdue and doing that at VU tuition rate. So it's a very cost-effective way to earn a bachelor's degree through Purdue University. Another unique feature is we're part of what's called Next Level Jobs. So the governor in Indiana identified high wage, high demand jobs a few years ago and put some support behind that. And so students that are in our maintenance program that qualify for that grant actually get their first certification paid for by the state, by the taxpayer. So that's worth about $7,500. So it's quite a discount on the cost of training here. Another unique feature about VU is we're an open door university. So if you have a high school diploma or a GED, you're accepted. You know, we'll meet you where you are. We'll get you trained up if you have weak areas, math, reading, writing, those kinds of things. We'll get you trained up to where you need to be so that you can be successful and get you through the program.
That sounds great. I'm going to go to Taiwan for a minute. Taiwan, tell us a little bit about you and your background and how you ended up becoming an aviation maintenance technician and, you know, going to Vincennes and everything with where you grew up and what it took for you to move in that direction.
Well, I grew up on the south side of Indianapolis. I went to Paramaritan High School. Came in as a freshman. I thought I was going to proceed into playing basketball there.
Thought you were going to be another Michael Jordan. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Chicago. But go ahead.
Yeah, but I thought I was going to proceed with basketball there. End up injuring my knee. That didn't work out. So Mr. Brown, another counselor that I had, he introduced the automotive program to me.
A high school counselor, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And he introduced the automotive program to me and went home, thought about it. He thought about it, came back, and he was like, no, we need to get you in aviation maintenance. So basketball was over. Knew that wasn't gone anywhere. So went into the aviation maintenance program. Came here. I had before then, I lost my brother and kind of pushed me to go harder and go to aviation maintenance. Met Mr. Garrick and proceeded to come here. Kind of flunked out my first semester. Didn't know if I want to do it. Talked to Mike over Christmas break. Came back with a much positive attitude. And then proceeded to, you know, get my AMP and FAA license. And then went on to GE Aviation.
Yeah. So I think that's a tough story, but it's a compelling one. And it's one that I believe a lot of people could tell similar stories to. You, I guess my question for you is, one, did you always have a thing for mechanical stuff in terms of, because you were thinking about the auto mechanic program, and were you even aware of aviation maintenance, or had you ever thought about I could work on a, you know, a jet engine?
Never really thought that I could work on aircrafts. Worked on my car. I had a 1996 Dodge Neon, kind of beat up. So had to work and fix a lot of things.
Okay.
Then over here and proceeded. So yeah.
And you found that you like that?
Yes. Love turning wrenches.
So what was it like for you when you first started your education at Vincennes in the program? You said you struggled a bit initially, but when you started really working in, I guess you could call it the lab or the maintenance shop, and started working on aircraft engines, what was it like for you?
it was different, you know, never seen this kind of stuff growing up, you know, so it was different. It was amazing. It was something new every day, something, you know, come in, you might be working on an engine, you might be working on magnetos, you might just be working on anything. So it was actually pretty cool just to see the different things that goes into the aircraft and aircraft maintenance that most people don't see.
Right. And I see some electronics behind you. Did you also do avionics there?
Yes. So I'm in the basic electricity room. So yeah, it was kind of like this course was kind of tough for most people.
Okay. Was it tough for you?
We ain't gonna talk about that.
That's okay. That's okay, because you know the bottom line is you graduated and you went right into a job doing something that you now find that you really like.
Yes.
One of the neat things here, Vince, is this is a pretty small facility. I mean, it's a 90,000 square foot facility, so the building itself is quite large, but the programs are smaller in nature, and this is aviation only in this building. So the good news for students like Taiwan is you can't just hide in the cracks. Everybody here knows everybody, and so you know one of the great reasons that we have so much success with our students is we don't let them fail. When they're having troubles or when they're not where they need to be, there's a lot of motivation by everybody here in the building. And I think he could probably speak to that a little bit because he's had a lot of pressure at times to make sure that he was getting what he needed. And you know, the motivation's there too, because the opportunities in the industry right now are just incredible.
Yeah. No, thanks for adding that in. That's a really good point. But I am going to go to Sabrina because the other side of your program is flight training. And Sabrina, as I said earlier, is a graduate of the flight training program with an associate degree. She's a certified flight instructor for Vincennes, I might add. But Sabrina, where did this all start?
So for me, I had a lot of ideas when I was in high school about what I did not want to do and not a whole lot about what I did. And one day my dad suggested, well, what about piloting? And I was like, I don't know if that's for me. And
there was a little bias in that suggestion, right?
There was, yes. My dad was a pilot in the Air Force for about 20 years, but that was before I was born. So I wasn't really exposed to aviation growing up.
Oh, wow. Okay. Gotcha.
But he suggested.
He made sure you were going to be.
Yes, he was very happy. And so I went on a discovery flight and I just kind of instantly fell in love and loved being in the plane and up in the air. So I applied to VU and started that fall, I believe. I went through the program and then graduated, went through their CFI and got hired on as an instructor.
So it was the discovery flight that really got your attention.
Yeah, that was my first time being in a small plane.
Small airplane, and you felt natural with it, what we call a natural stick.
I did. It was really fun. And I mean, you know, I feel like every pilot says this, but best office view in the world, right?
So one of the things that's kind of great about Vincennes and Purdue Polytechnic is this dual credit program, which you are participating in. So you finished your associate. And now you're working on your next 2 years to get your bachelor's. Tell us about that.
Yes, that program is really great. I knew that I did want a full bachelor's, so that being able to partner with Purdue to do that is amazing. It's mostly online classes, which is great. It provides a lot of flexibility because they know that a lot of their students do have flight instructor jobs or other things going on. And the in-person classes that we do have is here at the ATC, the Aviation Technology Center. So I never have to like drive up to Lafayette every Thursday or anything. I just have to come here, which is really nice.
Yeah, that's a great thing. And we'll talk with Corey about that in a second. The other thing I was thinking about, I was listening to what you said earlier. And so when you were in high school, your head was in another place. So did aviation kind of give you direction and give you a purpose that made sense for you?
Oh, yes. One of the things I really like about the aviation career field as a whole is there is a pretty clear path to follow if you so choose, kind of a pipeline of you know, getting all your certificates, getting your CFI, instructing, moving on to a regional and then a major is, I think, probably the standard for most people. And I really appreciated that. I have a lot of friends who, you know, got degrees at other universities and, you know, they have no idea what they're going to do with them once they graduate. And for me, that was never an issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Corey, so speaking of that program, the dual credit program with Polytechnic and Purdue Polytechnic and Vincennes, why don't you tell us your side of it in terms of what you guys do and your responsibility with the program?
Sure. Thanks, Vince. I'm the director here for the location. And so my job is to really more on the operations side and then also help with marketing, recruitment, engagement in the community. And really what our job with our curriculum is to help provide students an additional pathway for leadership and management within the airline industries and within aviation. So as students complete their associate degree in either the aircraft maintenance or on the piloting side on the professional flight, the next step, some of the courses that they're going to take are in airline management, airport management, security, finance, human factors and aviation, those kinds of courses to kind of give them more of a well-rounded experience and to give them that pathway for advancement in the aviation field. So that's really what we focus on. And Sabrina, you know, she brought up a good point about, you know, our coursework. It's very what I would like to call a high flex model, giving students some online courses, face-to-face courses and hybrid courses. So again, most of our students are working. So we want to give them the flexibility they need to be able to complete their bachelor's degree.
Got you. Tell us a little bit more about the specifics of your program and how that applies to the students that are involved.
Sure. So they'll be taking about 60 credit hours of 300 and 400 level aeronautical technology courses. And so it is a Bachelor of Science from Purdue University in aeronautical technology. And they're going to take a deep dive into each of some of those core subject areas like aviation security. And so they're going to look at, you know, TSA, the regulatory environment, those kinds of things, passenger safety. So all of those things that they're going to take a look at. So obviously, if they're a pilot, they're going to want to be aware of those things as a pilot. But also, if they move into a management position down the road and they are working in the airline industry, maybe security is going to be a path that they want to take. And they'll have at least a couple of courses in aviation security to kind of give them that foundation. A lot of our students are working in industry. So a lot of what they're learning now, they can apply directly into a potential career path for them.
Yeah. So you guys are specific to Indiana, but anybody could come to the program from anywhere?
Absolutely. So there, if somebody wants to go through this 2+2 program, there are apartments that are currently available for students to come and participate in the VU side of things and then transition into our program. But recently it was announced that Purdue University and Indiana University are going to separate, and with the hopes that Purdue will have a dormitory facility here in Indianapolis. So that allows us, Mike and I were just talking about, there's the potential of having this to be a national program residential experience that we haven't really had before. So we're looking forward to that.
Mike, you want to elaborate on that?
Sure. I think what we advise students when they come in, and you know this well, Vince, is in aviation, especially on the flight side, we never know what life's going to bring us or what our health might bring us. And so, you know, as a young pilot, it might look like you're going to have a full career of just flying big airplanes, but things might change in life and cause you to not be able to continue flying. And so having that bachelor's degree and that specialized management and leadership training can really be helpful to pilots as they progress in their careers and maybe decide to take a different path. We see the same thing on the maintenance side. You know, somebody like Taiwan, who's, you know, in his third year now working as a mechanic, right now he wants to turn wrenches, but as time progresses, he'll want to move up the ladder for sure. And that's where those Purdue courses really kick in, that management experience, finance, those kinds of things, so that you can work up the ladder and you can become a lead and then a supervisor and You know, as all of us in aviation know, there's so many more aspects to aviation than just being a pilot or mechanic, but it's so hard to see those things until you get on the inside. And certainly once you see those, then you want to make sure you're well positioned to take some of those opportunities if you're interested.
Absolutely. No, well said. I think that you bring up a really great point. Taiwan. So let me ask you, what is your favorite thing that you now do as an aviation maintenance technician? What do you enjoy the most?
Oh, I like taxiing a plane over from the hangars to the terminal, and also engine changes is probably my biggest.
Oh, so you like pulling out an engine and putting another one in?
Yes.
Okay. What's the largest aircraft you've worked on so far?
Largest aircraft I worked on so far would be a 737.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you? And this may sound a little bit redundant, but I take it you had a lot of confidence coming out of Vincennes program and stepping in, because it's to come out of Vincennes and go to something like GE Aviation. That's a huge step.
Yes, Mike definitely boosting up my confidence.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mike kind of pushed you off the cliff.
Just a little bit.
you know,
yeah, let me get started.
The thing is that it's so difficult to get the maintenance certifications or the flight certifications. All of us that are in the industry that already hold those certifications, we know what it takes to get through there. And so we know that when a student reaches those goals that they can do it, and sometimes they just need convinced of that. I think Taiwan's been one of those students that, you know, every once in a while you have to remind him, hey, you know, you're an airplane mechanic, and that means you're special and you've got qualifications that not a lot of people have. The run taxi qualification, you know, he kind of downplayed that just a second ago, but you know, that's a big deal. And I mean, for those of us,
big responsibility. Industry,
yeah, a long time. I mean, that's to be run taxi qualified in less than 3 years as a technician. That's a big deal and a lot of responsibilities. And with that, and, you know, he does it every night along with many of our other graduates.
Yeah. And I was going to ask both you and Corey about that. If you could talk a little bit about the kids that come into these programs, and we talked specifically about Taiwan and Sabrina, but in general, some of these kids are coming into a program, they're not sure what they want to do, but they have an interest in aviation. Well, I'll let you tell me. And I want to pay a compliment to you guys too, because both of you, one of the things I learned during prior to going live, was that you're both very supportive and encouraging to the students. And I'm gathering that's a culture within your schools as well.
It certainly is. For VU, as I mentioned earlier, we're an open door university. So we have to meet students where they are. And I'm a great example of that. I'm actually a product of what we do now. So when I went to college, I went to VU first down in Vincennes, Indiana. And then when I graduated, I transferred 2.5 hours north to Purdue's main campus in West Lafayette. And so I ended up with the same degree, but coming out of high school, I was not college material. I would not have been successful going straight into Purdue. And VU was there to not only train me on aviation type experiences and information, but to really bolster my academic skill set to get me to a point where, one, I could be a college graduate, and two, then move on and be successful at Purdue. And so I don't see that vision or that mission ever changing. I mean, I'm very passionate about that. I know Corey is too from his end. And we see students from all walks of life. It is kind of interesting being in aviation, how different the demographics and the type of students are that are in our maintenance program versus flight. It really is, there is really kind of a divide there. But like on the maintenance side, typically our average student age is 22 to 27. So these are folks that got out of high school, didn't really have a plan in mind, maybe worked a warehouse type job or something for a couple of years and then decided they wanted something better and come back and find success. They're very driven and motivated and they're successful. I think on the flight side, it's really more academically somebody that's probably a little bit stronger, somebody that's a little more in tune with what they want to do with their career coming right out of high school. So our flight program, we typically see a much younger age of students starting. But one of the things that I've said repeatedly is we meet the students where they are and we get them across the finish line. If there's somebody in our building that wants to be successful, we will put in at least as much effort as they're putting in to get them across the finish line. And sometimes, Taiwan, we have to put in a little bit more than they do to get them there. But it's just those nudges. It's just the building the confidence. It's just the reminding them that they can do it. And then they get there and they see that. And that's kind of the cool thing about the 2+2 is they come in not thinking they can even get through VU. And then by the time they're done with us, you know, we've been telling them, hey, as soon as you're done with us, you can get into Purdue. And well, I don't think I can make it. Yes, you know, you just finished this 2 years, so you've proven you can do this. So you definitely can move on and find success at Purdue. And that's what we see. Our students find success with whatever they desire to do. And we put a lot of features in place for that. For example, in the flight program, we've got retired airline pilots that sit in our sim lab, and we have open sim hours so that students that are struggling can come in free of charge and use the simulators and fly with an airline pilot that's got 30 plus years of experience that can help get them back on track right away.
Wow, that's really great. That's a kind of an internal mentoring program.
Correct. Yeah, and Purdue carries that on. So, I mean, it's not just at the BU level. When they go on to Purdue in the building, they're still getting that individualized training. I'll let Corey speak to that just a little bit too.
I mean that's part of Purdue as well. I mean, we are Indiana's land grant school, and so making sure that we are accessible to students, you know, we're not open admissions, but we do make ourselves accessible. That's why we're here in Indianapolis and why we're here at the ATC with Vincennes to give students an opportunity to earn that bachelor's degree, to earn a Purdue degree, which is extremely valuable in the aviation industry. And it is so rewarding. Just a few weeks ago, a student had finished his summer course that was going to allow him to graduate. And he walked into our office. He's like, I am now a Purdue University graduate. He said, I never would have imagined I would have graduated from Purdue. And that was after a rigorous summer class of calculus. And he's like, I don't know why I put this off till the end, but I made it through calculus. And you could just see that the joy and the pride was just exuding from the student about being able to do this. And he, like he mentioned, he never would have done it without this partnership, and to be able to do it so affordably. I mean, that's part of the access, is not just that we're located here in Indianapolis in an urban community, but it's also more affordable than what they would have had at West Lafayette. And they're getting access to jobs and careers faster than their counterparts in the main campus.
Yeah. Taiwan, Sabrina, did you both feel that way as you were going through Vincennes and that comfort level of the support and that type of culture in the school?
Oh, absolutely. I think with both Vincennes and Purdue, like Mike said, one of the great things about it being a smaller building and you know, smaller class sizes than your average program is you do really get to know everyone and all of the professors. And yeah, you know, if you get a new rating or you pass a check ride, everyone who's there knows what that took to pass that and to do that. And it's, you know, always like a big cheer at the airport when someone passes a check ride, and you very much get that sense of community.
Yeah. Taiwan?
Yes. I feel like all the instructors were helpful and wanted to make sure you succeeded as long as you was accountable.
As long as you applied yourself, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Vince, you know, with both curriculums, we really kind of give it to them a spoonful at a time. And that's kind of how the two degrees work as well. So on the maintenance side, the courses are 4 weeks long each. So they're only taking one subject at a time. So when they're in sheet metal, that's all they have to focus on until they're done with that course. And then they'll move on to composites and engines and so forth. And so they're just getting a dose of it at a time and not really kind of realizing that they're all just a set of building blocks that are stacking up. on the flight side, it's similar. And one of the unique things we did, another unique thing with the flight program, is we have very little solo time in there. What we determined was the students that are out flying solo, a lot of times, you know, you send them out to do maneuvers or some practice something. Well, if they're not doing it right, they're just going to reinforce bad behavior and bad piloting, right? So it really isn't that much more expensive to have an instructor sitting in the right seat that's constantly there giving that support and making corrections as needed. And so those are, you know, again, it's just kind of giving it to them a dose at a time. And then with the programs on that level, you know, the same thing is, well, I just want to get my license. Okay, we'll get your license. And then, okay, I'll go ahead and get my associate's degree. And then it's okay, well, you got those two. Now let's go ahead and get that bachelor's degree too. So it really is a stepped type program all the way from start to finish. And we find most of the students really appreciate that.
Yeah. Not to put you on blast, Taiwan, but, you know, you're about ready to go to the Purdue part of the program, right? Even though you're doing well at GE and you're making money over there, but you know, a couple more years and knock that degree out, that'd be all right, right?
Yeah, I think I look good in the black and gold.
I know you would.
Where have I heard that before?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and that's why our program exists, you know, for Taiwan. You know, he's working, you know, he's got family responsibilities. He's, you know, he's got a lot going on. So we need to be accessible to him. And so having some high flex courses where he can have a hybrid class, a face-to-face class. I mean, our face-to-face classes are typically our science courses like physics, our math courses, things like that, that we really know that are better face-to-face. Sabrina's taking physics right now. You know, I was sitting on her class the other day. So, you know, getting that personalized one-on-one attention where, you know, taking, you know, a Purdue physics course with maybe, you know, 20 people is a lot better than a large classroom.
Sure. I was going to go back to you, Mike. And I have a twofold question for you, and I'm going to probably ask the same of Corey. It has to do with your background. So one is, when did the aviation bug bite? And secondly, what made you decide to at some point go into education?
Sure. So how I got into it's pretty easy. I was in a diesel mechanic program in high school. Always very mechanically minded. So from a very young age, I loved working with tools in my hands. And so I knew from a very early age that was going to be my path. And I thought that would be in diesel mechanics in some fashion. And a person from Tulsa, Oklahoma, from Spartan School of Aeronautics came to our school and said, hey, has anybody thought about working on airplanes? And I made a right-hand turn and never looked back. And so I've been in aviation ever since. There was a little bit of a tie-in for me too. My dad was a government worker in aerospace, and so he traveled a lot. And I can remember the old days when we'd go sit in the terminal building and wait until he walked on the airplane and wave goodbye as he was taxiing out. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't have those opportunities nowadays. And I think that's one of the challenges with this industry is it's so closed off to young people that if you're not born into it or you don't have a neighbor that's in aviation, you probably don't know much about it. I mean, you might look up and see airplanes flying, but you just don't ever really relate to it or see yourself in that role. And so that's kind of my story. And then in terms of getting into education, I worked several different types of aviation. So general aviation, some corporate aviation, airlines, specialized in composites and structures for a short time. And the opportunity came up at BU. And I, you know, for me, it was a way to give back. You know, it was knowing that the alma mater had set me up for a successful career. And maybe I could do the same for other young people.
No, that's fantastic. And that really is a way to give back. I was going back and thinking about something that you were saying about the access to aviation. It is very limited in a lot of ways. And even at small airports, you know, because of security and then the things that we have to deal with now, there are a lot of fences and some airports are pretty friendly about receiving somebody outside of the industry, so to speak. Others are a little bit tighter about it. I do encourage young people, though, if you're near or live near or are visiting a small, you know, general aviation airport, just go in the FBO or go in, you know, and say hello at the flight training center or whatever, and you will be welcome. That's one thing we are as an industry, very welcoming in that regard. So that's just my two cents. Corey, how about you? Where was the spark and what had you move in the direction of education as well?
Sure. Well, it kind of started with education first. I started off as a history teacher and then transitioned into working in higher education, and in particular in marketing and enrollment management. And that's how I found my way to Purdue. And through some reorganization of our statewide locations, I found my way here to Indianapolis. And as an historian and somebody who loves history, I've always actually been fascinated by the Wright brothers, their innovation, their entrepreneurship, those kinds of things. So I've always enjoyed the history of aviation. And then once I got here as the director, my job was to help the ATC from the Purdue perspective grow our enrollment and help market what we're having to do. But then as soon as I walked into this building and met Mike, I could see his enthusiasm for aviation and his faculty here, as well as the Purdue faculty. And it was very quick that I decided that this was going to be a high priority, was to make the ATC one of the best aviation programs in the country. And so that's what Mike and I have been working on over the past year and a half now, is really how do we make this program a nationally recognized program where people want to come from all over the United States and maybe all over the world to be a student here at the ATC.
Awesome. That is really great. Sabrina, two things. Well, let me start with one and ask you this. When, in terms of other students your age, other young people that are either coming out of high school and trying to figure out what they want to do, what kind of advice do you have to them?
I'd say don't feel like you have to rush into thing. I think especially in today's world, there's a lot of pressure to be like, straight out of high school, find a college, find a degree, go. And it's really okay to take, you know, a year.
That almost sounded like a cheer.
Try, yes, you know, to research programs or, you know, industries like aviation that were maybe totally off your radar. You know, try discovery flights, try, you know, different things, and, you know, find someone in that field to talk to. You know, they say you can always tell if someone's a pilot because they'll tell you. It's one of the first things they'll say. So, you know, at least in aviation, there's plenty of people willing to talk with anyone who's interested about their experiences and training.
Yeah, I think a discovery flight is a great option to really let you know if it's something that's, you know, your thing. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. There, you can go to a flight school and pay for one. You can go to an EAA chapter and somebody will take you up for free. And it's usually a fairly experienced pilot. A lot of times it's even, you know, an active or retired airline pilot and things like that. Or you can go up with a friend. But I do like that you've brought up a couple of times the discovery flight, because I think, well, and it was a factor for you. I think that it's something that that's a great way to get introduced to aviation. Taiwan, how about you? Well, what kind of advice would you give to your peers and to young people that are coming out of high school and trying to figure out what they want to do and are interested in aviation?
Yeah, I wouldn't rush into it. I would go and make sure, you know, like I came out here a year before I knew I wanted to do the maintenance program with Central 9. We did a tour here. Mike gave us a tour. And I was like, when I left here, leaving here, I was like, I know I wanted to do that. You know, it's not something, oh, maybe I might. But when I left here, I told Mike, like, I will be back next year to finish this program. So like Sabrina said, I wouldn't rush anything. I would take my time, you know, tour colleges and see what you would like to do. Because there's a lot of.
Sure. Mike and Corey, with all that you've seen and that you see, what would you advise to young people that are speaking like Corey and Sabrina are about, you know, entering into aviation?
Yeah, I think Go ahead, Corey.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I think, like Mike said, the challenge is getting the exposure. So the more we can go out and engage and find programs for a young person, maybe it's the Civil Air Patrol. Maybe like here in the Indianapolis area, we partner with a pilot who has his own ACE Academy program. We have to be able to do a better job of going out and connecting with students early because they may not see it. And I think it's also just to reinforce the importance of taking the right kinds of classes in high school. Maybe it is the dual credit program like at a career center, but also, you know, making sure that you're doing well in your math course, because those math classes are going to come back and you're going to need to have that foundation.
So it comes back to STEM a little bit. Mike?
Yeah, I agree with what Corey's saying. And you know, the other thing is what I tell young people about aviation is, especially kids that come here and say they want to be pilots, you know, flying is a lot of fun. I mean, all of us that are pilots know that, but there's a lot of work behind the scenes that goes into becoming a pilot, and especially a commercial pilot like Sabrina. And so it's, you know, what we tell people is you got to have the focus and the drive and the passion. You can't just look at the person that's flying the airplane and say, that's what I want to do without putting in the effort. And I think that's important. On the maintenance side, you know, I kind of describe it as you got to be a kind of a straight line square box type person. You got to like rules and policies, and we don't get a paint outside the line too much. You know, everything we do for a reason. We do it the same way every time. We have to follow procedures. And, you know, I think there's folks out there that take great comfort in that and excel in that. And I think there's others that don't, and we try and help them figure that part out before they get started. The maintenance program is very cost effective. It's fairly inexpensive program. As you know, the flight program is quite expensive. You know, airplanes are expensive and aircraft fuel is expensive. And so we certainly don't want to get somebody into this industry that ultimately, you know, isn't a good fit or not going to find success. And so we try and be upfront and honest about those things on the front side.
Sure. So Mike and Corey, why don't you guys give a little bit more specifics about your current timelines as far as schedules, you know, when's the next set of classes for each side and what's available and things like that.
Sure. So the at VU, we start programs in August and in January. We are a year-round program for both flight and maintenance, which is a little bit unique for state-funded collegiate-type programs, but that's really to help them get out into industry a little bit quicker. So our next courses that will be starting for new students would be in January. We've got plenty of space available for the maintenance program. The flight program, we take about 30% of what we get in terms of applications. It's just limited in size due to cost. And so we'll take about 20 new students in flight this January, and we could take up to 40 new students in maintenance. We're year round, but it'll take them a little bit less than two total years to get finished. On the maintenance side, that'll get them all of their airframe and power plant certifications, as well as the degree. Myself and a couple other faculty members here are designated mechanic examiners for the FAA. So we do all of that testing in-house. So they will actually walk out of our facility with the license already in hand. On the flight side, they'll get about 225 hours of flying with us. That's actual in-airplane time, in addition to another 35 plus hours of sim time. It includes about 25 hours of multi. We give more multi-time than most other schools just because of the importance we think it has, especially if they're going into the commercial end of things.
Yeah, tell us about your fleet.
So we have eight Cirrus SR-20 2018 models and two Piper Seminoles. And, you know, what I tell people, you know, when they come through here is everything is about safety for us. Right down to the airplane that we chose. And so the Cirrus airplane is just an unbeatable platform. It's and, you know, when we get somebody to come in and take a tour, you know, the kids love it because it looks cool. Moms love it because it's super safe, and airlines love it because you know, it's got all of the technology in there that they're going to see when they go over to the regionals. And it's, you know, the gap between what they learn here in the small airplane and what they need to know when they step into the bigger airplane is much smaller with that Cirrus. Of course, it's got the parachute and several other safety features built into it as well. It's a high performance airplane, so they've got that advantage as well. So lots of unique features and things about the program and how we've got it set up. And, you know, we don't do anything by accident here. Everything is very purpose driven and safety minded. Sabrina's also one of the examples of one of the programs we have is when they graduate from the flight program, we take our top students and give them a scholarship and actually train them as a CFI. And we pick up the cost on that for our best students, just so we can retain them and then roll them in as flight instructors. Well,
that's a nice program. I'll take back the teasing I was getting ready to do. I was going to tell you that Sierra sent me a text saying that the check's on the way for the compliments. No, that's great. Great information. What I was going to ask you too, Mike, while you were talking about it, is on the maintenance side, what are some of the things they train on?
Sure. So, you know, I've got kind of a set screen behind me, but that's actually a picture of our big hangar. So we have, I used to brag that we were the only training institution in the country with a full functioning airliner under roof. And about 2 years ago, a local employer donated a Gulfstream G4 to us. So those two airplanes behind me on the screen are both aircraft that we use for our maintenance students to train on. And then, of course, we've got several smaller aircraft as well, multiple laboratories. And that's really one of the things that helps students like Taiwan get set up for success when they go out is unlike a lot of A&P schools where you really only learn on the small airplanes. Our kids are used to working on that 737 and getting experience on a big airplane like that Gulfstream. And so the intimidation factor goes way down when they get that first commercial aviation job and they already understand big aircraft systems and scale and ATA codes and things like that. So it really gives our graduates an advantage. And I would say right now there's easily five jobs for every graduate in maintenance. And a lot of that's because of name recognition. Certainly Purdue is a name that's synonymous with aviation. And, you know, I think anybody in the country for sure and likely the world would relate Purdue with aviation. But locally, VU's name is pretty strong, too, in terms of producing quality technicians and pilots. And the employers are constantly in here trying to attract our students.
Yeah. And to your point about the industry is wide open. So anybody that wants to do actually anything in aviation, but you want to be a pilot, you want to be a aviation maintenance technician, and then I can name probably 50 other things. It's all happening right now. This industry between the aviation side, both commercial airline and business aviation, corporate flying, and the space exploration side in terms of aerospace, it's wide open. There's another school that had a graduate who you would think that she was going to go and work on, you know, turn wrenches on engines. She ended up, she's at SpaceX. Why SpaceX needs an AMP, I'd have to call them and ask. But I thought it was pretty interesting to come out of a AMP program and get hired by SpaceX. And that's just one small example. So, Corey, same thing. Tell us a little bit about your schedule and timeline and how that works there at Purdue Polytechnic.
So we offer admissions into our program here the fall, spring, and summer semesters. Our spring semester starts on January 9th. So we're actually, our application is open now. So if there's any VU graduates listening today that want to continue on like Taiwan's going to do, I know he's going to apply, then now is the time to do that for the spring semester or even the fall.
You hear that, Taiwan? Oh, I see the smile on your face.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. By the time this program's over, Taiwan, you just might as well go ahead and
submit
the application, man.
That's right. And so right now we're accepting those applicants into the program. And then when classes start in January, we typically offer our face-to-face courses are in the evening, again, because we're accommodating working adult students. And so we'll be starting up, and actually we're going to be offering, to your point, Vince, a space and aviation type of course, just because of how the industry is changing and the commercialization of space. And so we're excited to offer that class this spring here at the ATC. And awesome. Yeah, so that's coming up, and we're excited about that. And then we also have coming up just actually, this is going to be in West Lafayette, but we're part of the same. We are a direct extension of the aviation program and at the School of Aviation and Transportation Technology in West Lafayette. We have our national conference coming up for pilots and the critical shortage and maintenance technicians on November 8th, 9th, and 10th at West Lafayette. So there's plenty of opportunity for folks to engage with us, either as a student or coming to our symposium.
That's fantastic. Well, we're kind of winding down with the time factor, and I wanted to go back and ask, first, I'll start with you, Sabrina. So with what you're doing right now, you're building time, you're doing flight training, or teaching others to learn how to fly. What's your ultimate for your career goals? What are you headed towards?
I'm not sure if it would happen in the next 4 years, but at some point I would absolutely love to attend the National Test Pilot School in California. That's one of my goals. They have a master's program there. And my father was a test pilot for many years. And I've always been very intrigued by that kind of aspect of aviation and that career. So that's kind of a long-term goal for me. In the more short term, instructing at VU, and then I'll probably be at an airline for a bit. Don't know which one.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm going to throw a little bit of bias in there, because the airline careers are great, but there is another whole other area. It's called business aviation, corporate flying. That's also a great way to go. And I was kind of happy to see that Vincennes, actually on the maintenance side, has both the Gulfstream 4 and the 7-3. I think that's really great, because I think there's plenty of opportunities in both. The other thing I'll do offline for you is I have a contact for upset training out there in California, also in the Mojave Desert, and I will put you in touch with them. It'd be kind of cool for you to network with them.
That'd be wonderful.
You definitely have your dad's genes, though. If he was a test pilot and here you are, you're currently a CFI and you're already thinking about wanting to be a test pilot, I think that's pretty cool. Taiwan, how about you? What with what you're doing now, where do you see yourself going?
Well, I see myself going short term. Go ahead and get my bachelor's at
Purdue.
Yay! Long term goal, I would like to get a carrier like FedEx, UPS.
Okay. Yeah. Whoops. Did I see your audio go out? Go ahead, Taiwan. I thought I couldn't hear you anymore.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
No,
yeah. So you'd like to work with one of the cargo operations?
Basically, yes.
Yeah, they have huge fleets. So I'm glad you brought that up, because cargo is a big aspect or big facet of aviation. And also, I joked around about the airlines and business aviation, but cargo flying is also a great career, you know. And on the maintenance side, they have fleets that are the size of airlines, so right, taking all those packages everywhere. So yeah, that would be really, really cool for you to do that. And yeah, that sounds great. So I'm just really thrilled that we've encouraged you to move forward, knock out that bachelor's real quick. So yes. That'll also do some things for your career. So, well, listen, we're about out of time, but this has really been great to hear. I've actually learned a lot about Vincennes and Purdue Polytechnic and that 2+2 program you have in terms of the dual credit and that type of thing. I think it's fantastic, actually, that you guys offer that, and that you're kind of expanding and opening this up beyond the borders of Indiana and things like that. So let us wrap up by giving you, Corey, and you, Mike, opportunity to make a closing statement about who you guys are and what you do. I'll start with you, Corey.
Yeah. Thank you, Vince. Again, it's been a pleasure. It's really, you know, our goal here is to help people finish their associate degrees and really have a high paying, high wage kind of job in aviation. So we're really blessed to be here at the Aviation Technology Center. And I also want to thank Sabrina just quickly. She helped us with the VR experience 2 days ago for 10,000 eighth graders. And that was our first aviation experience was with Sabrina and our VR system. So I want to thank her for that.
Wow, 10,000.
10,000 eighth graders.
All over the state of Indiana, I guess?
All over central Indiana.
And we had an aviation. Wow. Yeah,
so we had an aviation booth from the ATC, both Purdue and Vincennes. And Sabrina was critical to having a high quality experience for those eighth graders.
I don't know what I'd do with 10,000 eighth graders, but anyhow, hats off to you, Sabrina.
Thank you.
Mike?
Yeah. So, you know, I think what I'd like to say first and foremost is, Vince, thanks again so much for spotlighting this unique program. We really do feel like we're special. We've got a lot of niche markets and opportunities for people, whether it's the high school dual credit program or whether it's the person that graduated high school and then, you know, kind of wandered around for a couple of years and they're ready to come back and get serious about a career, or the folks that want flight training and they want to do it here in Indianapolis and save some money, but still have a great experience with VU and Purdue. You know, I think we've got a lot of creative opportunities. I want to emphasize that we'll meet students where they are. We're an open door university. And a lot of times we take students that aren't college material and we make them college graduates. And as I said earlier, I'm kind of a product of that myself. And, you know, to get a hold of us, we're at aviationtechcenter.com. We're located at the Indianapolis International Airport, so we're convenient for folks, whether on flight or maintenance side. We've been doing this a long, long time, and so we feel like we're experts at it. And you give us 2 years of your life, and we'll give you a great career.
Absolutely. Corey, what's the best way for people to get a hold of your school?
Yeah, purdue.edu/Indianapolis, and they'll learn about our aeronautical technology program as well as some other certificates that we offer. And again, we're starting to take applicants for the spring semester. So check us out, purdue.edu/Indianapolis.
All right, Mike Garrick, Director of Aviation, Vincennes University, Corey Sharp, Director of Indiana Statewide Partnerships, Purdue Polytechnic and Vincennes University, Taiwan Lockhart, Aviation Maintenance Technician graduate from Vincennes and currently an Aviation Maintenance Technician at GE Aviation, who's getting ready to finish up and get his bachelor program with the 2+2 program. And then Sabrina Dupree, the product of an Air Force pilot and on her way to one day becoming a test pilot, right now training others how to fly and working their way through it. So I want to thank all of you for participating in the show today, being available. I know we had to scramble to get everybody everywhere and that type of thing, but I really appreciate having you guys on. A great program, Vincennes University, great partnership with Purdue Polytechnic. Sabrina, I want to wish you the best. Hopefully one day we'll read about you as a test pilot. And Taiwan, keep taxiing those airplanes and doing what you do, and really want to wish you the best too. And congratulations to both of you guys on your pursuit of aviation and moving forward.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's it for this show for All Things Aviation and Aerospace. I'm Vince Mickens with the Private Air Media Group. Thank you everybody for watching and listening. And as always, we will have other interesting shows, including next week on anything that has to do with opportunities in aviation and aerospace. Everybody take care and have a good one.